From the depths of Knuckle Drag, Oklahoma, a pissed off liberal named Bart Cop, and he brings you Bart Cop Radio.
Big headlines, same newspaper, still in the damn waiting room at the damn mechanics. Headline, ruling sets back industries, ready? Ruling sets back music industry's piracy battle. By Jefferson Graham, close personal friend of mine, got some email from him once. In a big setback for the music and movie industries, a federal appeals court upheld an earlier decision that said operators of online swap networks aren't liable for their users' actions. A three-court panel for the U.S. Circuit of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit in San Francisco, who these guys need to make all the rules. We need to just let the Ninth Court of Circuit, whatever it is in San Francisco, these guys, they look at the Constitution, they look at what's right, they look at what's legal, and they make a ruling. Everybody else, the other eight, they call Bush and ask him what he'd like them to do. But the Ninth in San Francisco, they do it right. Rejected the piracy pleas of record labels and movie studios. They had argued that unauthorized online trading of music and movies is costing combined $7.5 billion yearly. That's a big lie. They are lying. And that the owners of swap networks, Grokster, Morpheus, and Kazaa, should have to pay. In essence, the ruling says file-sharing software is legal. Repeat. In essence, the ruling says file-sharing software is legal. That sets the stage for a potential showdown before the U.S. Supreme Court, which is going to rule for Bush, and the big trillion-dollar movie industries are going to rule for Rupert Murdoch over at Fox, and they're going to rule against some 9-year-old in Ohio trying to download a song by Britney Spears or that, who's that new Ashley Simpson girl? Jessica Simpson's little sister got the hottest album of the year. Can you believe this? Out of nowhere, she has one single, which I've never heard, and apparently it did good with the pre-pube set. And so Ashley Simpson has got the number one album in the United States in the year 2004. Recently they had I still haven't seen the tape yet, the Choice Teen Awards. I taped it because they said Lenny was going to perform, and I hadn't seen it yet, but I'll bet Lenny was good. But they also, this Ashley Simpson came out, trying to think, I was doing something, I was either playing poker, or I was doing a page or something while this, I think Miss Bart was watching something in the other room, so I had to watch the awards with the sound down. But I caught a little bit of this Ashley Simpson, and it was just awful. I mean, you know, I'm a man, so this has to come first. She's marginally attractive, but then she dressed up in some damn pirate outfit like she's Johnny Depp. Wasn't it like 2 years ago? She had on some funny-looking hat and some extremely mannish pants that looked like pirate pants and an extremely mannish top that looked like a pirate top. And I got to give her credit. At least she sang. But the song, it was some slow song. It was kind of a funeral dirge. And, of course, the crowd is just absolutely screaming their balls off. They just can't stand how great. Oh, it's like the Beatles, Led Zeppelin, the Rolling Stones, and the Who all at the same time. Oh, my God, I can't believe. And there's this Ashley Simpson doing the first song of her life, a boring, dull song, dressed up like a man. It was just useless. But she's got the biggest album of the year. What the hell's going on? Back to the story. Before the U.S. Supreme Court and more lobbying for legislative solutions. Besides, the owners of file trading networks, the labels have also been pursuing song traders. Yeah, we know. The sons of bitches, the big bullies. They found out some 9-year-old in Topeka downloaded a song. They're coming at her with a summons. They're going to drag her into court and fuck her. What's wrong with this deal? Greedy sons of bitches, aren't they? They've already got their $100 million in the bank, but no, they gotta have $101 million. Oh, they gotta have it so bad. No matter who they have to screw, no matter who they have to threaten. And Lars is right up there with them. Lars. Since September, 4,000 copyright infringement lawsuits have been filed, and many have chosen to settle at fees from $2,000 to $15,000. Oh, I wish I was a song trader. I'd like to do some battle in court with these sons of bitches. Outgoing Motion Picture Association representative Jack Valente, who may or may not have had a hand in JFK's murder, said, "We're carefully reviewing our next steps." Oh, yeah, that was worth a quote. That was worth calling, getting Jack on the phone. The RIAA says we'll continue to pursue legislative and legal actions that are expected to press to have the case heard before the Supreme Court, which could take at least a year. Yeah, and the Supreme Court's going to call Bush and say how do you want us to vote, and Bush is going to call Jack Valente and say how does the trillionaires in Hollywood want us to vote, and they're going to say, oh, the giant moguls that own the studios, they want to screw every little kid in America. Oh, okay, that's how we'll vote then. Then Bush calls the Supreme Court, and the little lapdogs do what he tells them. Legislation was recently introduced in the Senate in response to the Grokster defeat. The so-called Induce Act would make operators of media swap networks such as Grokster liable for users' actions. Oh, there you go. There you go. If I'm with the Louisville Slugger Bat Company and I sell a baseball bat and someone uses that to beat up an old woman, I'm liable. Perfect. That's perfect. That's a good idea. Let's do a bunch of that. Now, the reason the gun guys do deserve that is because they produce a semi-automatic weapon, and they put in a little tiny flimsy piece of metal that any 9-year-old with a file can make go away, and they can turn a semi-automatic into an automatic in like 10 minutes. Now, anyone who intentionally puts in weak steel that they know any kid can pull out and turn that into an automatic weapon, yes, you should be held liable because you are intentionally allowing that. You are going out of your way to be sure the criminals can break the law once they buy your product. That's why you should be held liable and not these song guys. This action would make it easier for entertainment companies to sue tech firms for copyright infringement. The tech industry has lobbied against it, saying it could affect diverse products such as Apple Pods, search engines, and PCs. The Senate is in recession until Labor Day, but Orrin Hatch, criminal mastermind, has no comment on the ruling. Why can't Mr. Chicken Coop come up with a comment? In Thursday's decision, the judges agreed that there are many good uses of file sharing. Yeah, hand job me. Go ahead. The technology significantly, unquote, reduces distribution costs of public domain and yeah. Fred Von Lohman, an attorney for the Electronic Frontier Foundation, of which Mark Perkel has been affiliated, calls the win a huge victory for consumers. Until the original Grokster decision in February, the RIAA and MPAA have been on a winning streak. They succeeded in getting the courts to knock down the original Napster and a host of other so-called peer-to-peer services. Now the court is saying this is pretty good stuff. So Jonathan Bann, intellectual property. Is he my lawyer? Intellectual property attorney in Washington, D.C. That's a much different tone. So bottom line, file sharing is here to stay. Nothing can stop it. You know, I heard a good argument the other day. You know, they have a deal, a little off the subject, but when have I ever been able to stay on the subject? Think how stupid it is for the states or the government, whatever, to put the death penalty on a major cocaine trafficker. Now, think how stupid that is. I don't know if it's in a movie or if someone pointed out, but a major cocaine trafficker, his everyday existence is life or death. If word's out that old Bart's got 10 pounds of cocaine in his house, I'm going to need an army to guard my house because everybody's going to want to kill me and take my cocaine. So what the hell is the threat of killing me from the government going to do? That's going to be zero. So what am I getting at? No matter what penalty you put on this file sharing, they're going to do it. Nothing's going to stop it. It can't be stopped. All this is doing is making money for the attorneys and the other crooks that are involved in this. This is a giant hand job like everything you've ever seen. It's just a bullshit thing. They can't stop it, so they're going to try. They can't stop smoking pot, but they're going to try. They can't stop pornography on the internet, but they're going to try. They can't stop people from breathing air, but they're going to try. The BFEE, right now, you know they're working on some deal to tax you if you breathe oxygen. If you don't need the oxygen, you know the BFEE is going to own the oxygen in America pretty soon. I remember Steve Martin used to do a joke about the oil companies are going to erect a giant umbrella all across America so then charge you for solar energy. He thought he was kidding at the time, but he wasn't. The BFEE, the crooked sons of bitches, once they own the courts, yeah, we're just heading downhill. Oh, we need to get a Democrat in the White House so bad. I wish Kerry was willing to fight for it. I hope he is. Right now, we haven't seen much evidence of that, but it would be real nice if Kerry would help us take back this country for these sons of bitches that are screwing us to death left and right every day. And trust me, the only thing you need to know about this whole piracy issue is that the giant, super billionaire pirates don't want the little 9-year-old in Topeka stealing from them. They call it stealing from the giant pirates. They get a script, they don't pay for it. They get a writer, they don't pay for it. They get actors, they screw them out of their money. The corporate heads, these studio heads, and the major musical label heads, their job is to screw money out of everybody up and down the chain. You hear all this bullshit about, oh, Napster's taken away from the artists. Well, yeah, the studio took away from the artists, you know. There's a thousand examples. Who's the big one? I know Toni Braxton had to file bankruptcy a while back. She made sold so many millions of records, and she didn't have a dime. The Dixie Chicks, they sued Sony or somebody because they were selling millions and millions and millions and millions of records, and they didn't have a dime. Sony was, you know, they'd sell a $15 CD and throw them 3 cents. And it's like, hey, we're the people that came up with the song. We wrote the melody. We wrote the lyrics. We performed the lyrics, and you're giving us three cents out of 15 bucks? That's just not right. So they went on strike, and they got a lot of shit. They guaranteed them they weren't going to work in America again. The Dixie Chicks, they've had to stand up twice now. All they ever wanted to do was play a little music, maybe speak their mind. And twice they've had Sony come down on them hard as they could with everything they had, and they had the federal government halfway, come, especially the media, come down on them. Think what kind of problem that is to have the media and the government on your back, not to mention Sony and their 700 lawyers. Them Dixie Chicks, I think I might go buy me a Dixie Chick album just to pay them back. Under their new deal, they're getting a dime now out of the $15 instead of 3 cents. So yeah, they tripled their money, but this bullshit. The giant pirates don't want the 9-year-old pirate from Topeka cutting into their giant profits. That's the problem here. Somebody argue with me on that. I dare you. Same section of the paper, when I was waiting for my damn car to get fixed, they had a couple of articles I wanted to check with you on. A big article, Delta Airlines simplifies, cuts fares. Ready? Delta simplifies, comma, cuts fares at Cincinnati Hub. And they talked a whole bunch about how they were going to redo this and redo that. It's all a hand job. Boy, wouldn't it be nice if you got paid $10 every time I said something was a hand job, because everything is. Let me explain a little to you. They got a little graph here. Delta's new fare structure. Say you want to go from Cincinnati to L.A., they say. In the old days, which means now, if you walked up and said, hi, I'm in Cincinnati, I need to go to L.A., they say, fine, give me $1,200. You sons of bitches. Now, if you work for Delta, this is not directed at you, but Delta wants $1,200 if you walk up and say, I need to go to L.A. tonight. Now, they've got empty seats on the plane. They could give you a deal and make going to L.A. easier, and since going to L.A. is easier, you do it more often, and they might end up making a profit. But no, they're out to fuck you. American business, that's their goal. Their goal is not to make a profit. Well, it is, but only if they can fuck somebody. So Delta, they want $1,200 if you walk up and say, I'd like to go to L.A. tonight. Under the new scheme, they only charge you $500. So obviously the $700 difference was a scam. It was a hand job. It was a rape. It was a way to screw the little guy. Always with screwing the little guy. Now, they say if you give them 14 days advance, they'll let you go for $149. Now listen to that. $149 if you give them 2 weeks notice, $1,200 if you don't. They're selling you a $150 product for $1,200. My good math says that's what, 6 times? No, it's 8 times. 8 times. They're gouging you 800%. Delta Airline is gouging you 800%. Now, why would anybody take that? A Coke is what, 50 cents. But if you're thirsty, it's $4. Hey, fuck you, Coca-Cola. Go to hell. I'll buy Pepsi the rest of my life before I let Coke screw me that way. That's how people ought to be thinking about Delta here. $150 fare they want $1,200 for. And now they're big surprise. Oh, we decide instead of screwing you out of $1,200, we're just going to screw you out of $5. No, wait. Instead of screwing you out of $1,050, we're only going to screw you out of $350. They're still screwing you. As my old boss used to say, close your ears, girls. They're just sticking in the pink part, not the whole thing. That's what my old boss used to tell us about these loans. Bart, don't worry about doing this to the customer. You're not sticking it all the way in. You're just sticking in the pink part. That's how he explained the financial business to me. And I rose above that. I could still screw people to this day, but I chose not to. But anyway, this is Delta Airlines. $150 are going to screw you out of $1,200. Oh, I know that you know that I like Southwest Airlines. Southwest will let you fly for $99. If you kiss their ass the right way, the right time, Delta will let you have that same fare for $149, but $1,202 if you don't do it all the right, perfect way. Delta, you deserve to go bankrupt. How dare you screw the customer out of $1,050 for no damn reason other than your damn greed. How dare you? All right, which brings me to the reason I brought this up. My good friend Rick Del Castillo, the very famous, very talented Del Castillo band out of Austin, Texas, recently featured in Kill Bill 2. And I didn't know this, but Rick wrote the soundtrack or something for Spy Kids. And he was in, what else was he in? Once Upon a Time in Mexico, and damn, he did another one too. But anyway, he's getting really big in the music industry, and they are the best band in Texas. Remember last year, I don't know what happened this year, but last year they won best band, best record, best producer, best something, best guitar, best album cover, best whatever. They won like 7 awards at the South by Southwest, which is a big deal. Bands from all over the country fly in there. They said, no, oh, they were good in Austin. No, this ain't one of those deals. Anyway, my good friend Rick asked me, he said, we're going to be in Memphis in a couple of weeks. What do you say you and Mrs. Bart fly over there and meet us, or why don't you show up and we'll have a good time in Memphis? And I thought, hey, cool. And so I checked on airlines for $900. Me and her can fly to Memphis. And to do that, we got to fly to Dallas or St. Louis or swear to God, Atlanta. One of these handjob airlines wants to fly me from Tulsa to Atlanta and then from Atlanta to Memphis. Now, do you mind if I only want to fly 300-400 miles? Don't make me fly 1,200 miles to fly 400, you assholes. But they wanted $900 for me and Mrs. Bart. Now, me and Mrs. Bart can fly the round trip to Vegas for $400. Now, Vegas has got to be between 2 and 3 times farther away. You would think these airlines, the fees would be based on the miles you fly multiplied by they need to make a profit multiplied by the cost of fuel. So why is it double the cost to fly from Tulsa? Get your little map out. Why does it cost double, more than double, to fly from Tulsa to Memphis than it does from Tulsa to Vegas? What's wrong with you people? And the reason I have to pay $800 to get to Memphis is because Southwest doesn't fly there. It's all a scam. The airlines that can't make a profit, it's because they're doing this here. Delta wants to make $1,200 off a $150 flight, and since nobody wants to be screwed that way, they go to a different airline. So Delta ends up flying half their seats filled. And they can't learn that lesson. How many billions of dollars are the airlines going to lose before they learn that lesson? A little disclaimer, I know nothing about the airline business, but funny how Southwest can make a whole lot of profit when all these big guys are going super bankrupt. Maybe that's because I don't think you can spend $1,200 on Southwest if you try. You can fly from Providence, Rhode Island to San Diego, and it won't cost you $1,200. It probably won't cost you $600. But flying from Tulsa to Memphis is $800. Go to hell, airline industry. You guys want to go bankrupt. You guys are crazy. You don't want to make money. You want to screw up. I'm so old, I remember before they fixed the airlines, we had flights from Tulsa to Fayetteville. We had flights from Tulsa to Little Rock. We had flights from Tulsa to Memphis. And then they went and fixed it. Now to get to Memphis, they got to go through Atlanta or Dallas. That is ridiculous. No wonder they charge $1,200. You guys just want to go bankrupt. Couple more things from the same damn newspaper, the same damn section of newspaper. Hard to believe, you know. This makes me think I could do me a 3 or 4 hour show every day because we're still on the money section of one day's paper. I don't know how good this is, but I'm sure having a good time yelling at it. Big headline, Labor warns union to replace president. Now this is, you better be sitting down. As the vulgar pig boy said when he was about to explain Hillary's murder spree, brace yourselves. The Labor Department this week advised flight attendants at American Airlines to replace Union President John Ward or face likely enforcement action. Which means what? I don't know. At the request of opponent Tommy Hutto Blake, Labor counted 16 ballots that hadn't been counted in the March election, which Ward won by 5 votes. Labor declared Hutto Blake president of the Association for Professional Flight Attendants by 7 votes. So what we have here, the government has decided that when it comes to something as important as electing a union rep for an airline, all votes must be counted. And if you don't count all the votes, the government's going to come in and fix it. The government's going to come in and take your president out of office like he was the governor of Iraq, and they're going to shoot his kids in the head and throw him in a hole. Because you didn't count all the votes, but when it comes to just something as small and insignificant as the presidency, we don't need to count those votes. Can you believe these sons of bitches? This is the Bush administration explaining to American Airlines that you have to count all the votes. Each vote must be counted, these sons of bitches are telling American Airlines. I don't know anything about this, but just the idea of the Bush administration explaining how each vote counts is just an affront to every son of a bitch who ever voted in this country. Fuck the Bush administration, these lying sons of bitches. This is all a hand job from the word go. Hell, about the middle of 98, the GOP decided George Bush was going to be the next president, and the media got behind it, And everybody in all medias, the newspapers, the cable TV, the talk radio, everybody got behind it, and they just decided to make it so. And when the voters said no, they said, screw you, voters. This is what you're getting anyway. And all we could do is take it because Al Gore decided it wasn't worth fighting for. Thanks, Al. Thanks a whole bunch. John Kerry, do you think it's worth fighting for? When the Bush administration tries to steal this election, are you going to say we should lay down and be quiet like Al Gore did? Are you going to do that to us, John? Are you going to do that to us again? Are we going to have to put up with that again? Or will John Kerry stand up and say, no, not twice in a row, not again, not two times. We're not going to take it. Bullshit. The bullshit stops right here. Is that what John Kerry is going to say? Or he's going to say, oh, I sure thought we were going to win. Jeepers, golly gee. Which one of these are we going to get come November? If Bush wins, then by God, we'll just have to take it. But if the polls show Kerry ahead and Bush diebolts his way into office, are we just going to take it again? Is Kerry going to treat it like Gore, or is he going to fight? Boy, I wish we could get a commitment from Kerry that no matter what, he was going to fight. So far, we haven't got that. I haven't seen it of you. You know I'm behind Kerry, but I am not behind another loser. Not again. I can't stand losing again when we won. Like I say, I can take losing, but I don't like losing when we won. When we score more points than the other guy, it would be nice if they would let us have the proper score on the scoreboard. But no, we scored the touchdowns. Their boy kept score. Why don't we pass a law that Fox News can't call the next election? Because you know they're going to be first out of the chute, and they're going to scream Bush, 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 no matter what happens. Kerry can be ahead by 100 electoral votes, and they're going to scream Bush 1. And then the activists in the Republican Party, see, we don't have any of those. The Democrats, we don't have any of those. When we get told some bad news, we lay down and go to sleep. But in the Republican Party, when they say, looks like Gore's going to win, they jump up and they get to work. And they go down to Florida and they cause a riot to prevent the votes from being counted so the Supreme Court can jump in and vote their boy in office. Boy, this is a hand job. I can't stand it. Are we going to put up with this again? I don't like it.
Don't touch that dial. Though you don't have a dial because you're probably listening to this on the computer.
I mentioned on Wednesday's page, volume 1386, Fear and Smear, that I got a live Zeppelin recording in the mail from my old buddy, Carolina Dan. And I said I was going to play a little bit of it for you. Now what you have to do, those of you who grew up with super crystal clear digital music, to you this is going to sound like a waterfall or a train, but those of us who grew up with bootlegs in the 60s and 70s and 80s before the digital age knew that you had to rely on less than perfect recordings. These days you can make a pretty good recording. They got digital this and they got, hell, this is before DAT, this is before everything. This is 1977 when your best shot at recording was maybe a Radio Shack piece of crap. This is, for a bootleg in the 70s, this is really good quality. And this is a little bit of Led Zeppelin playing Tchaikovsky's Nutcracker. And remember, this is three people. That's a lot of noise for three people. I hope you like it.